Hey, let's get into our Sunday school lesson here. I sure am glad to see you all, and I love being in our church. We have looked at John 14:6, and it's a key verse for soul winning. It should be a verse that's marked in your Bible. We've looked at it for the past 3 weeks now, and we started with Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what we did was we took some Sunday school lessons and we broke down Jesus is, he's the way to heaven. He's the way to a successful life. Are you living Jesus's way or are you living your way? And what God makes available to us when he saves us. Jesus, last week, I think Brother Ross taught you on Jesus is the truth. I'm going to summarize it. Jesus is the only source of truth. You say, that's extreme, but everything else in the world changes. You know, evolution, take the stupid teaching of evolution. You know, it started out several million years ago in the 1800s with Darwin. Millions and millions. You know, now it's what? Billions and billions. It's always changing. It's never, that's because there's no proof of it. Okay? So Jesus is the truth. Now take it one step further. God's word is truth. I like what somebody said. If the Bible was turned into a person, it turned into Jesus Christ, right? Because this is the written word of God. Jesus is the living truth. Your Bible is the written truth. And it is the only source of truth. All right. Next. Remember Pilate's question when he crucified Jesus? When he had Jesus crucified, what is truth? And the whole world asked that question, right? And he asked the truth, what is truth? And of course, Pilate committed suicide 3 years later. But Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. This morning, we're going to look at Jesus is the life. And what does that mean? Some beautiful verses, and then we'll narrow it down here. You're in John. Go to John chapter 1. And look at and after I work hard as a pastor to help you look at your Bible so that God can speak to you. You say, what do you mean? If that book is just a history book and a book of men's tales and stories, there's no authority in it. But if that book, when you read it, if it's a King James Bible, is God speaking to you, you get something different out of it, right? It's not just story to know. It's like, why is that word there? Why is that word there? Because if every word is the word of God, which it is, then I can pull and learn from everything that's in it. And so here, watch this. Let me help you watch this. Just start at verse 1, but verse 4 is what I want you to see. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, that's Jesus. And the Word, capital W, was with God. And the Word, capital W, was God. Jesus was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, by the Word. Jesus is the Creator. Right? And then it says, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, what do I learn from my Bible? Jesus Christ is the originator of life. He's the only one that can speak life into existence. Right? He's the creator. And it says, Jesus Christ, the Creator, was life. That if I just took if this is the only part of the Bible I had, and the life was the light of men, that tells me you can't live life without God. You can exist, but you can never make tales of it. Why am I here? What's our purpose? What, with no eternity, if this is all there is, the 70 years from the time you're born till you die, it's, you know, what they're telling me what to do and wear this and say this and this is what you have to do. You can't live life properly without him who is life. Life is directionless without God. Everybody's telling you what to do. Okay, take this thought. God is light. God is life. God is love. The source of true love is God. How can you can like people? You can lust, but you can't love without God, who is love. Proper love. Proper love that says, I love you no matter what. Okay, take marriage. How can you have a good marriage without God, who created marriage? The idea that the two become one, that was God's idea. God created marriage. Yet the world says, well, it's not, you know, going to church isn't that important. Learn about the Lord. Bible's not that. It's all interpretation. It's all changed. But no, it's not. How can you have a good marriage without God? And I'll answer the question, you can't. Jesus Christ is the life. And that life is what guides you when you get saved. And we'll look at the different lives this morning. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Neat verse also. We're looking at Jesus Christ is the life. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Deuteronomy, fifth book of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And look at chapter 30 and verse 20. Now, I got to see this verse a long time ago when I got saved, and it just amazed me. And here you are. Look at verse 19. Ready? Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed or your children may live. Verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. Watch, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. What a verse. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And God teaches us all the way through the Bible. God is the way to properly live life. You can't live life without God. You definitely can't have eternal life without the Lord. But the one that created you, how can you live without him? You can exist. They say that, you know, I love, somebody said, well, prove to me there's a God. The most complicated organism in the universe is the human body. Its complexity and diversity. It's amazing how God made us. And it's just a testimony of what? The Creator, the Creator, and what God did in him. He is thy life. So cleave to him. And I've loved that verse, and that's been a blessing to me. What type of life? Okay? In your Bible, we could break life down into, first of all, physical life, okay? And we've already looked at John, where Jesus is the life, and that life is the light of men. You're in Deuteronomy. Go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 has been one of my favorite psalms. I think everybody ought to read the book of Psalms and enjoy them, and then everybody ought to have their favorite psalm. You know, what psalm do you like, and what psalm speaks to your heart? And Psalm 27, ready? Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? First of all, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What life? I'm the one that spoke you into existence. I created you. And I love this, for your physical life. He says, I'm the strength of your life. And I love this. I love thinking about this. You're the happiest when you love God. And you're the most miserable when you're selfish and you don't love God. God, what's the Christian life? It's me learning to let him guide me. That's the Christian life, right? I had to get saved first, right? And then learning God now guide me and help me. And so he's the strength of my life. That means without him, my life is meaningless. I'm just here to exist, eat, sleep, and excrete. But he's the strength of my life. He's what gives my life purpose. And somebody said, you know, that's why you heard me talking about, you know, without the Lord, why am I here? What am I doing here on this? We're just on this big, you know, big blue ball floating through space, going in circles around the sun. Without God, he's the strength of my life. He gives my life purpose and direction. I realize I'm only living here for 70 years. At the end of this 70 years, eternity begins with the Lord. And that how I enjoy that eternity is based on what I do with these 70 years. Everybody will enjoy it, but your rewards are based on what you do now, right? He's the strength of my life. Just take a few. Here's a neat verse. Look at Acts. Go to the New Testament. Go to Acts 17. Look at verse 28. Ready? So Jesus is our life. He's first of all, he's our physical life. I love my family, and I think you should, you know. But I have family that don't go to church. I can say this, but my family, they all know they're saved. Okay, they all know that by the blood of Jesus, it's not some whacked out. They all know they're saved by the blood of Jesus. They're all thankful for the Bible. But in spending time, I love it and all that. I'm just amazed at how religious people think they are when they, I don't know, best way I can tell you is they make Christianity their way. And the Bible's nice as long as it doesn't interfere with my life. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Great. But I had two people ask me about church, and they don't go to church. And I said, are you ready for the answer? I said, do you need? I said, I'm not sure you're ready to handle what I'm getting ready to tell you. Because I'm not going to tell you everything's going to be okay. If you're wanting to know what the Bible says, I didn't write the book. If I die tomorrow, it's still true, right? And I was thankful. One of the people that asked me, nobody got upset with me or something, but I've seen people get upset. And I'm like, is this an issue? Is this a question? Well, how important is church? Okay. Do I need to answer this question to help you? Because I'm not going to argue with you. Right? I ain't got time for that. Right? I don't want the contention. And I'm not a compromiser, but if it ain't going to help, why are we arguing? You know? Are you going to change? I ain't changing. If you ain't going to change and I ain't going to change, then let's talk about something we can be happy with. Right? So that's how I deal with family. One conversation brought me to tears, and I just said, I'll tell you the truth. I said, this is going to be hard. I said, are you ready? And they took it. And they said, thank you. You know, the one that I sat down with for 4.5 hours, one of them, she told me afterwards, she said, no one's ever sat down and explained the Bible to me like this before. She said, I said, praise the Lord. That's what we're, amen. That's what we're all here for, right? We just want to be a blessing. I said that to say, notice Acts 17, verse 28. Very, very powerful verse. I wish it was. Look at verse 28. For in him, in God, we live and move and have our being. He's describing Jehovah, Creator God. It's a wonderful thought. God has a lot more to do with our life than we have to do with him. But in him, we live and we move. And we have our being. That lets me know God is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot live life without me. But it's almost like the more you learn about God, salvation and then what the Lord's done for you and what God wants to do, it's like the more you can live. He's better. Remember that old commercial? Coke adds life and everybody wants a little. I just dated myself. That's from the 80s. Okay. Sorry about that. Remember that Coke commercial? Coke adds life. And I remember what one preacher said, Coke, nothing. Jesus adds life. Amen. So, okay. You got Acts 17:28. Go ahead and look at Colossians. Ready? Colossians. It's further into the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And here we go. Look at verse 16. And ready? Watch this. Of course, it's all good. It's all the Word of God. But watch this. God is giving us a description of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Matter of fact, start in verse 15, Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Who is? Jesus Christ. He's the image of the invisible God. God made flesh, right? It says here, the firstborn of every creature, for by him, by Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Here he says it again. For all things were created by him and for him. And then watch verse 17. And he, Jesus Christ, is before all things, and by him all things consist. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. There's still things science doesn't know. One of the basic things, I know you know what an atom is. I know you know what protons are, right? They circle around atoms. And then we've been taught there's negative and positive protons that go around the atom. They still don't. Okay, have you ever taken two magnets together and you know how it can repel each other, right? So you got to flip the magnet around and then they suck up. By all science, an atom should not be held together because of the negative and the positive. It should expand. They still don't know how it stays together. When you read your Bible, by him all things consist, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. How does it stay together? God holds it together. God is the missing link. You tried to figure it out without God. Yeah, then there's some things you'll never be able to answer till we get to heaven. When Job was proud in chapter 41, and Job was like, man, I've been through this and this and this. God, it's Job chapter 40 and 41 is where God says, where were you when I spoke things into existence? Where were you when I created the stars? And then he mentions Orion and Pleiades. And where were you as if I answer to you? There'll be things we don't understand. Our God is so big, we won't understand him. Praise the Lord until we get to heaven. But he, by him, all things exist. Jesus said, I am the life. I'm your physical life. I spoke you into existence. I created you for me. Next, Jesus is eternal life. Go to John 6:33. Trying to take a thought this morning how Jesus is the life. John chapter 6 verse 33. Jesus said here, for the bread of God, John 6:33, is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Yes, he gave us physical life, but here, verse 34 said, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, verse 35, I am the bread of life. What's he talking about? He's talking about eternal life. I gave you life, and then I died for you so that you could have eternal life. Take your Bible and go to 1 John, back near Revelation. 1 John, back near Revelation. We'll come back to John, the book of John here, but go to 1 John and look at chapter 1. Here we go. Now when you start, notice the capital W, the Lord Jesus in verse 1. Watch this. It says in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Capital W. We touched him. Our hands handled him. This is God using the Apostle John to pen the scripture. And he's saying when he was here on this earth, we got to touch him. And then verse 2, he says, for the life, that was Jesus Christ, was manifested or revealed, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He who was eternal life, salvation, became flesh, and that was Jesus Christ. He gave us life. He created us. Then he is our eternal life. And you can't stop there. Before we go on to the next thing, look at, you're in 1 John chapter 1, go to chapter 5 real quick. Look at verse 12. Ready? 1 John 5:12 says here, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Pretty simple salvation equation, right? So if you have Jesus and him only, you're saved. But if you're trusting Jesus plus church plus membership plus baptism plus, then you're lost. He that has the Son only has life, has eternal life. Beautiful salvation verse. Okay. Now you can't stop there because eternal life is received. He who is eternal life is received by placing your faith in eternal life for Jesus Christ. And that would be John 3:16. John and 18, John 5:24. I want to show you, we're getting close to here in time. Go to John chapter 10, and now let's look at abundant life. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. You want an opposite verse? In Proverbs it says, all they that hate me love death. If you don't love God, you can't view life properly. All they that hate me, don't have time for God, don't want anything to do with God, love death. That's why they kill babies. That's why they're for euthanasia. That's why they're for reducing planet population. All this, that's how come they talk of death so lightly. Because all they that hate me love death. Jesus is the life. Look at John chapter 10, verse 10. I know we've seen this, but it's good to see. The thief or Satan or the devil cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. That would be eternal life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So when God saves you, God has a better life planned for you than you could have had without getting saved. Now, it doesn't mean if you get saved, you get an abundant life. It means if you get saved, there's an abundant life available. What's the word abundant mean? It means overflowing. I am come that you might have an overflowing life, a full life. To, I think, understand that, I'm watching the time. Go to John 7. Go to John 7. Ready? You're in John 10. Go back to John 7. Look at verse 37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. If anybody wants to get saved, all they got to come do is come to Jesus. Look at verse 38. He that believeth on me, when you get saved, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Rivers, plural, not a river. Rivers of living water. When you get saved, God can use you to be a source of help in other people's lives. That's what water does, right? Now, this is in specific reference because the next verse, Jesus tells us, you say, what's all that mean? Next verse tells you, but this spake he of the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. That had happened after he raised from the dead. So Jesus said, I want to give you an overflowing or an abundant life that would only come through you letting the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside you use you. And I was at Caleb's ordination Wednesday night, and you know, I'm his dad, and I'm so pleased. He's an assistant pastor now in Quincy, Illinois, and they wanted me to pray, and then they asked me to preach. I was like, the pastor that was before me, Brother Hansen, Kat's pastor, the one that led her to the Lord, my daughter-in-law, it was so neat. He preached before me, and it was so neat to hear him talk about how Kat and her mom and dad came to church, and her dad was the first one to get saved. And then they came back the following week, and Kat's mom got saved. And Kat, she was a 17-year-old teenager at the time. She watched her mom and dad get saved, and it took her about 5 weeks, I think. She was real skeptical. And then Pastor Hansen talked about leading her to the Lord and how sweet it was. And so I got up and preached, and I said, isn't it neat to hear a pastor talk about how he enjoyed watching God work in people's lives? Because that's what we live for, right? It's what we live for. I said that was so refreshing to me. And as that's what I enjoy in our church. I enjoy watching, I can't save anybody. I like watching God work in people's lives. You say, how come? I want an abundant life. My life is, I got in the ministry to try to help people with God's word, and yet you learn how powerless you are on my human limitations. And you know, when we had the homegoing service for Brother Watson, every homegoing, I'm so reminded of how I can't comfort anybody. God has to comfort through me, but I have nothing. I can be there and I have a presence, but that's it. God working is the one. I love it as a pastor. I love watching it, but I'm also reminded we know who it is. Amen. And we know who it ain't. Amen. God's looking for a vessel to work through. Wait a second. Not just a pastor. An abundant life is when you see you're here on this earth for God to work through you to other people, to lead other people to the Lord, to help other people. God is looking for vessels to fill, right? And you're only as filled with the Holy Spirit as you are yielded. I'm not 100% filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. Nobody is. There was only one person filled above measure. Who is that? The Lord Jesus. The rest of us, I'm learning how to yield. I'm learning how to let God use me. But am I 100% filled with the Holy Spirit 100% of the time? No. I floored somebody and I said, you've heard me make the statement in church. I said, I believe every word of this book, but I don't live every word of this book. I'm learning to. Amen. But I won't be able to till it. Does that make sense? In other words, I realize I'm a sinner saved by grace. I believe every word, but I don't live every word. I'm learning to do that. The abundant life comes from surrendering to the Lord and letting Him flow through you to others, rivers of life. And then you've got the resurrection life. Take a picture of the board. God bless you, gang. Next week, we'll probably look at our last Sunday school lesson on the I Ams, where Jesus is the true vine. And then we're going to get into the Easter lessons as far as resurrection and the cross and things like that. And that'll be for the first 2 weeks in April. God bless.